Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, Every Nation NYC. Pastor Nathan here. It's my real joy and pleasure to bring the message from God's Word to you today. Today is also Connect Group Sunday, and so as I'm preaching today, I believe that God's going to be impressing upon your heart to get involved at a deeper level in our church by finding your people, finding your tribe, getting involved in a Connect Group today. I know that Connect Groups have made an enormous difference in my life, and I believe that they're going to make a huge difference in yours. I've been leading Connect Groups for years, participating in them for years, and people along the road have helped me grow. This year, of any year of my life, and as I reach out to people older and wiser than me, made me want to quit, made me want to give up. I've heard 2020 is for the dogs, 2020 is over, 2020 is done, and 2020, friends, is not done yet. Very much really on our calendar, but also I want to just raise hope and expectation to not give up. Don't give up on this year. God's got something for you this year, and I believe that it's going to happen through our church and through Connect Groups. And as we get deeper plugged into our faith, deeper plugged into God, that He's going to do some mighty works in our lives, and He's going to turn some situations that we've been walking in and living in around in our lives and in this world. God has a life-changing breakthrough for you lined up this year. God wants to work in your life, hold your life together, support you, bring your relationships into a stronger place if you do not give up. And so today I'd like to encourage us from James chapter 1. And James opens his book like this. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, greetings. This is how James opens his book, written to Christians. And he says to Jewish believers, to Jewish Christians, he writes to the 12 tribes of the dispersion. So in this moment, he reminds them of their Jewish identity, of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes that are now not in Israel. And so he calls them the dispersion. That means those who have been dispersed from their homeland. So he's writing to Jewish followers of Jesus who are no longer living in their home. Many of them have been persecuted and driven away. They're essentially refugees. They've been dishomed, disenfranchised, and they're distanced from their friends and their family and their home culture. And now they're facing real trials, real tribulation, real poverty. And to them, he's basically like, what's up? Greetings. That's his whole greeting in this moment is greetings. And I feel that way in 2020. I remember the first time I encountered people from our church. It was on since the lockdown, and we were on a train going to Brooklyn to protest the unjust killing of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. And I looked them in the eye, I said, how are you doing? And they looked back at me and said, you know. And I feel like James in this moment is looking his people in the eye, he's saying, how you doing? And they're going, you know, we're facing some heavy times. We're facing some heavy moments. As I encountered dads in the park, people that I knew from my son's school, and I'm going to them, and we're starting conversations. It's like, so, how are you surviving? And I'm asking them, how are you surviving? They're asking me, how are you surviving? And conversation is just going deep, quick. There's very little small talk. There's very little talking about the weather or the kids' school or if you're liking this teacher or that teacher or whatever we used to talk about. Now it's just straight into, what the heck are you doing to stay alive in this moment? And I believe that this is where James was with his followers, with the people that he was ministering to. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, but now he's writing to guys that used to be in his church, but now have been dispersed. And so he skips the small talk. He says, greetings. And then he goes to this. Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. I mean, I have a hard time saying that right now in this moment. We've faced immense hardship. Real hard things are happening in our lives. Marriages are going through some of the deepest shaking that we've ever faced. Churches are going through the deepest shaking they've ever faced. Our nation is going through a really heavy and hard moment. This hardship right now that we're going through, we've got to remember, this is not normal. This is not the normal place that we live in. We're going through the largest pandemic since the Spanish flu, the greatest amount the greatest amount of like civil unrest and a moment of civic change since the 1960s and the civil rights movement. We're going through a moment right now. We're not just going through one moment. We're going through moment upon moment upon moment. People are grieving the loss of loved ones. People are grieving that they're not being able to go into the hospital to say goodbye to people. There's protests and counter-protests, and people are getting shot at in both of these places. The wedge that dares to divide our country is trying to get driven deeper and deeper in this moment. There's an upcoming election. We're not with our friends and family. And it feels almost audacious to say, count it all joy. There's like a, how dare you say that? How dare you say, count it all joy? But here, to refugees, to people that have been driven out of their home, to people that are living on the road, that are dispersed outside of their home nation, James writes, count it all joy. Count it all joy. He invites them in to a process of changing their perspective. And that's what I'd like for us to do today, is to be invited into the process of seeing this moment as for our good. As seeing this moment not as out of control, though it feels so out of control, and not as out to kill us, though all the time I feel like this moment is out to kill me, not as for my detriment or for my pain or for my demise, but it's for your good. Because there's a good God who's holding this moment. There's a good God who's standing outside of all of history, and he cares about you, and he loves you, and he wants your best, and he's bringing you into something more if we can just get off of our page and onto his. God's got something for your good. And James is inviting his people into that. And this evening, I'm inviting us into that as well. Count it all joy. In this moment, it's easy to check out. It's easy to give up on this moment. It's easy to give up on God in this moment. We can do that through two anxious responses. We can just make peace with it. And say, you know what, que sera, sera, whatever happens, happens. Let's turn on the Netflix and chill out in this moment. Let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen. You can just check out. The other is to go on a rampant self-salvation effort and try to read our way out and work our way out and plan our way out and schedule our way out. And if we just diet hard enough and exercise hard enough and get the quarantine cut going, and if we just educate our way out and protest our way out and fight and scrap and bite and chew, then maybe we can get out of this moment. A self-salvation effort. And both chilling out and relaxing, New Yorkers, you need to chill out. And also working really hard, yes, both of these things are good, but when they are done from a place of not trusting God, not believing in his goodness, and as a way of saving ourselves in this moment, rather than trusting the Savior, both things can be to our detriment and not to our good. God is working for your good in this moment. God is not trying to take you out of this moment, but he wants to bring you through this moment. He wants to work something into you for your good, for His glory, for the good of your family, for the good of your children and your children's children. God wants to work something into you for the good of society. God wants to work something into you for the good of eternity. He is choosing right now to take us through something hard so that He can bring out something better. Will we count it joy? Will we count this moment as a joy? Like, thank God I can go through this now so that He can bring out something better later. Will we choose to shift our perspective? God has something more for you. And yes, part of that is probably getting involved in a connect group, but it's more than even that. So in this moment, we've got to choose to fight to believe for something more. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul talks about how we have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So in those moments that we want to give up, in those moments that we want to break down, in those moments that we want to believe that this moment is just out to kill us and nothing else, it's time to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, that no, God is working. God is moving. God is choosing my best right now over, God is choosing my best over my comfort. God is choosing my best over my pain. God is choosing my best. He's doing it. For me, for the good of our society, for the good of our nation, for the good of our future, for the good of the faith, for the good of eternity, God is choosing to do something now that hurts for our better later. Will we choose to believe it? Will we fight for the truth? We do this by extending our faith in, by finding those areas in our life where we're not trusting God, by putting our faith further out there, not bringing it back. Very practically, I've been staying, my lifeline has been our morning prayer meetings. Pastor Shino is talking about this all the time. We pray together 8 times a week, 7 times in the mornings, 1 time on Tuesday night, 7 a.m. through the week, 8 a.m. on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We invite you to be a part of that prayer call. Also, we do this by fighting together for each other. Just as Randy talked about last week in our Sunday message, go back, listen to it. It's on our YouTube channel. He talked about how we fight for and with each other as a family. We do this through our connect groups. We stand with each other in faith. We believe for each other. We call each other up and to more. We tear down the lies of the enemy. We confess these things. Guys, I'm just believing that this moment's out to kill me. We say, no, bro. God's got more for you. God is willing something good into your life right now. So James writes, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for we know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking in nothing. God is choosing to do something in your life that's bigger and better than this moment. He's choosing to do something in your life that's bigger than this moment. And it's time for us to press into that. Press in faith, press in prayer, press in our connect groups, press in for our families. Press in to God and trust Him more, not trust Him less. To grow our faith out, not shrink it back. Because our faith was made for this moment. Your faith, the Christian faith, the faith in Jesus Christ, it was made for this kind of moment. It's just not every day that we encounter this kind of moment. This is why our faith exists. Remember, our faith came out of a grave. Remember, our faith was born in a tomb. That's where it was born. The Christian faith was born in a tomb in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago when Jesus went in dead and came out alive. That's where my faith was born. And that's where I put my hope and my trust is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're a community built on resurrection. Our hero, Savior, God, Lord, is a resurrected King. He's the God that turns tombs into trophies. He's a God that turns mourning into triumph. He's a God that turns death into life. That's the faith that we need, and that's the faith that we have. We're a community of people built on that kind of faith, a faith that will never die, a faith that will never grow old. We choose faith over fear. We choose love over suspicion. We choose hope over despair and generosity over greed. We choose progress over procrastination. And today it's time to choose to step into what God is doing, to choose to trust Him for more and believe for more, to have joy when we encounter the trials. Isaiah 61 says that He's given to us, those who mourn, a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that you may be called oaks of righteousness and the planting of our Lord, that He may be glorified. We will see the salvation of our God, because our boast is not in anything of this world. Our boast is not in our politics. Our boast is not in who's in office. Our boast is not who's winning or who's losing. Our boast is not what's happening on the news. Our boast is not how good or how easy our life is. Our boast is in the Lord, who says, I'm coming through. I'm coming again. I will redeem. I will restore. I will give you a beautiful headdress instead of the ashes. I will give you a garment of praise. And it's time to put that on today. We can choose. Will we enter into what God is doing? Will we choose to engage our faith? Or will we watch the news? Not that watching the news is bad, but will we be watchers, or will we be engaged? Our predecessors, Christian people, our forefathers, foremothers, they were eaten by lions, burned at the stake, sawn in two, driven into catacombs. They ran towards the plagues, and yet their faith persevered. Our faith was born for this moment. Will we give up, or will we go in? God doesn't want to bring us out of this moment. He wants to bring us through this moment. Together, we're building something. Together, we're growing something. Together, we are choosing to trust and choosing to get in this together. I believe that this moment is here to strip off masks. Masks in the spirit, masks that we've of pretense, and to grow together in a deeper way. I love that James just had no pretense. He's like, greetings, count it all joy when you encounter trials. He just strips all of the pretense, all of the pomp, everything out of the way. He's getting down to business, and I believe that our connect groups in this season are going to get down to business. They're stripping out the pretense. We know everybody's beat up. We know that everybody's faced tough times. Now it's just time to talk about them. Now it's time for our faith to touch the ground. Now it's time to trust Jesus in all of it. It's time for our faith to not just be words, but actions and deeds and heart change and lifestyle change. It's time to not just talk different, but live different. And I believe that that's what we're going to see in our connect groups this season, in our church this season. Together, we're a body of Christ. Together, we're building a place to process this moment, to put our faith into action. We're going to know God, grow together, discover our purpose, and make a difference. I believe that this moment is a gift to us as we create real community, as we create a real place for people to get to know each other, to apply the good news of Jesus Christ into the most painful and shameful and hard places of our life. This is what our faith was for. If you serve a God that can't stand up in this moment, then I'd suggest to you you've not met the resurrected Jesus. If your faith is falling apart, then I'd suggest that your faith has not been placed in Jesus, but perhaps in something other than Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't fall apart. Jesus gets up from the grave. Jesus brings life out of death. And I believe that He's going to bring revival out of pandemic and justice out of 2020. That's the God that we serve. So let's serve Him together. Let's believe together. Because God's got something more for you this year. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You're a big and mighty God. that we can celebrate you, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the uncertainty, that we can trust you, that you're the object of our faith. And even when we are weak, you are strong. Isaiah 40 says this: the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. Even though we're weary, he's not. His understanding, it's unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths, they shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. God, I thank you for this promise. We choose to wait on you. We choose to press into you. We choose to trust you with the rest of our 2020. We don't burn it down, but we know that you're going to use it for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got some discussion questions for you. These are questions for you to consider, reflect on, and just so that we can take this word, apply it a little bit deeper into our lives. Also, we've got a podcast that will be released on YouTube and through our podcast channels, where Pastor Shino, Terry, and I are going to be just talking through some of these questions and applying them deeper into our lives. This is for action. This is for us to change and not just be hearers, but doers of God's word. So the three questions that I've got for us today. First, how has Christian community made a difference in your life? Number two, what coping mechanisms are you most likely to use? Are you more likely to numb out or overachieve? Which one are you most prone to? Third, how has 2020 brought out some of the best and or worst in you? And how might reframing this year as a growth moment cause you to live differently? Thank you for listening. Thanks for engaging with these questions as well in your own time. Guys, we're believing for you, praying for you. God bless you. Now let's go to Pastor Shino and I to close this thing out.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.